glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of our Supreme Lord Sai, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, dear listeners, my name is Karuna and I'm coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 2nd of March 2017 and the time in the ashram right now is exactly 41 minutes past 9 a.m. That is just 11 minutes past the morning aarti. It's also the time of the day when longing hearts are inching slowly towards the holiest of shrines on the face of this planet. That is the Mahasannidhi of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. On behalf of all our listeners, I bow to the divine energy emanating from their supremely sacred spot. What a blessing it is to even focus our thoughts on this holy land where the mind is so calm, the spirit at ease, and what to speak of the heart. The heart is always at home here in Prashanti Nilayam. On that very peaceful note, let me update you on the current weather conditions here in the Divine Valley. Crisp, clear skies, comfortable evenings and night times and even mornings. Altogether, an unseasonably comfortable March. Daytime temperatures, however, do tend to hover in the mid-30s, which is very normal for this time of the year. And dear listeners, there has been quite a spike in the ashram spiritual barometer due to the recently concluded Shivratri celebrations. What a high-octane Akhand Bhajan we had for 12 hours, and the crowds were so enormous and so disciplined. There was a very substantial turnout of foreigners this year, and their discipline is quite admirable. The way some of them were sitting upright and singing throughout the night, wow! Well, the celebrations on February 24th evening started off on a high note with the live rendition of a powerful Shiva Bhajan by Swami's beloved students, some of whom are from our studio here in Radio Sai. During this time, Bhagwan's picture and the Saishwara Lingam of the Atirudram fame were taken around the Sai Kulwant Hall in a procession all on a palanquin. So dear listeners, please indulge me by taking a moment to center yourself and visualize yourself seated in the Divine Presence with the flower-bedecked Mahasannidhi in front of you, in the great hall of the Lord, the Sai Darbar of Vaikuntha. And now, please enjoy the Shiva Bhajan that I'm speaking of and treat yourselves to a mega dose of Shiva inspiration. Here is today's bliss infusion on Morning Glory.
Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya. 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 Om Nam
Shivaya. To you, dear sisters and brothers, welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You are tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream. I hope you're blissed out with the Shiva energy, with that bhajan that was sung live in the mandir at the start of the evening program on Shivaratri, when the sacred Saishwara Lingam was taken around the mandir on a palanquin and also one of Bhagwan's large pictures. Now let's keep up the divine ecstasy on Morning Glory with a very special conversation with the State President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Orissa, Mr. Jagannath Prasad Rao. Last year, Orissa became yet another state to inaugurate its very own Sarva Dharma Stupa, and how the very idea galvanized itself into a mass movement, picking traction along the way amongst various faith groups, from remand homes to jails to Sai centers. That in itself is an incredible story. Today in this special conversation, the State President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Orissa will share with us behind the scenes action of this historic development. This special conversation will be followed by a brand new episode of Learning with Love. Today we have Mr. Bhanoji Rao in conversation with my colleague, Mr. Bishu Prushti. But first, here is the special conversation with the instrument who was chosen by Bhagwan Baba for establishing the Sarva Dharma Stupa, or the multi-faith pillar in Orissa. Mr. Jagannath Prasad Rao, the State President of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Orissa. Have a listen, please. Sairam, dear listeners, one of the most prominent landmarks of Prashanthi Nilayam is the Sarva Dharma Stupa, or the multi-faith pillar that stands near Yajur Mandir of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's residence. While the idea to honor Dharma through every possible faith has been replicated elsewhere in India and around the world, in 2016, the state of Orissa in India inaugurated its very special Sarva Dharma Stupa with the power of 1 billion names of God. To tell us more about it, we are honored to have with us the State President of Orissa, Mr. Jagannath Prasad Rao. Sairam, sir, and welcome.
Sairam, thank you.
Sir, let's begin with the Sarva Dharma Stupa, the pillar that symbolizes all major faiths in Orissa. Where exactly is it located?
It is located in the Sai Janani complex, which in fact is our state headquarters. And we have the telemedicine center is also located in that building. Swami's residence also we have made, because we had a dream that Swami would visit Orissa once. And particularly for that reason, this Sai Janani complex was constructed. There we have the Sarva Dharma.
In the city of Bhubaneswar.
In the city of Bhubaneswar.
Which is the state capital, I guess. Now, why was the need for one there?
In fact, I assumed charge of the state president in the month of December 2010. And 2011, April 24th, Swami left his mortal coil. Orissa is a land studded with so many temples, Sai prayer halls, and thousands of devotees, even in remote parts of Orissa, they are devotees of Bhagwan since long. It was too shocking a news for the devotees of Orissa when Swami shed his mortal coil. And I was in a fix how to console them, how to convince them that Swami exists even though physically he is not there. So during that period, one day, within the 4 days, when Swami Samadhi celebration was going on, within those 4 days, I once prayed to Bhagwan, Bhagwan, show me some way, in what way I can console the devotees of Orissa. And then, like a flash, it came to my mind. Swami said, don't cry. Don't be emotional. I know that my devotees are lamenting the loss, but it is your duty now to convince them that I am still there with them. So don't allow them to sit in their homes and brood over the loss. Let them join in thousands and let them sing my glory. You have such programs where there will be mass participation of devotees, and when they find themselves in that congregation, they will forget their sorrow and they will accept the fact that though Swami is physically not present, he is very much with us. So some of the programs at that point we started. First was the Mahanagar Parikrama, that we did on October 20th of 2011.
Avatar Declaration Day.
Avatar Declaration Day. We did it in a different way. In all the major towns of every district, all the devotees of that district gathered. Exactly at the same time, the procession started in all over Orissa. And they sang Bhagavan's bhajans, they sang Bhagavan's glory, and went around the town. Some 36,000 devotees all over Orissa participated in Mahanagar Parikrama. This was the first such mass movement I will say. Then, the next was the Akhanda Jyoti Yatra, where Swami is accepted as the Jyoti Swarupa.
Embodiment of light.
So when you say embodiment of light, it is acceptable to all faiths.
Yes.
Because light is considered to be a sacred thing in all the faiths. So this Jyoti used to go from house to house. In the evening, the Jyoti will start from one house, go to the next house. The head of the family of that house will receive the Jyoti. He will install it in his puja room, as if Swami is there in his house. He will offer naivedyam on the in that evening. Then next morning there will be Suprabhatam, Nagar Sankirtan and all that. Then he will worship the Jyoti in the usual way he worships God. Then he will maintain silence as if Bhagavan is there. They will not even watch TV. They will maintain silence. They will read Swami's literature. In the evening there will be a bhajan and satsang. After that, Jyoti will move to the next house.
Mm-hmm.
It was such an emotional scene that whenever Swami left one house and went to another house, all the members of the house were in tears that Swami is leaving us. So this sentiment, this emotion, that is only to be believed only when you see it.
Mm.
So in this way, we have so far covered 30,000 households in Odisha.
Wow.
And it is still going on. 30,000 households we have covered. And it seems Swami told me that if I had gone to Bhuvaneshwar or to a major town in Odisha, I would have given darshan from one place. And how many people would have seen it? Now I am going to every house and I am spending 24 hours in each house. So this experience they could not have got. This privilege I have given only to the devotees of Orissa. Nowhere else it is happening. So I have kept my promise that I would one day come to Orissa.
Mm.
And the another thing was that we had a Prema Plavan Yatra, where a vehicle mounted with a beautiful chariot, Swami's portrait, the golden chariot. It looks like golden chariot, though not of gold. It goes from village to village, and in every village, villagers in thousands, they come and greet Bhagavan, pray Bhagavan, offer their respects to Bhagavan. In front of every house, you will find this mango festoons, and colorfully decorated, as if Swami will be going through this path. So they decorate, and they feel that Swami has come to their village. The whole night there will be program, and the next moment, Swami moves to another village. When Akhanda Jyoti Yatra, Swami moved from house to house. Prema Plavan Yatra, Swami moved from village to village. Then another project that we took up is Satakoti Nama. 100 crores of Bhagavan's name.
That is 1 billion with a B.
1 billion names to be written by young and old, everybody in Orissa. So this we started as an activity, one of the activities. And we went round the different places in Orissa. We distributed Likhit Japa books. Then we said, we don't insist that you only write Om Sri Sai Ram, Om Sri Sai Ram. You write the name of the Lord whom you worship every day. Maybe a Hindu Lord, or maybe you can write Allah, Allah, Allah. You can write your Guru's name, but you write those names and complete the books. Yes, Jesus also. Christians, Muslims, Sikhs, all started writing. And we used to tell them how to do it. Then it captured the imagination of people, young and old, in such a way that school children started writing it. Blind school boys, they also wrote it. Then prisoners in jails, they started writing it. We usually hold jail bhajans. There they started writing it. Then hospital, when we may go to for a hospital visit, we give them those books. The sick people in the hospital wrote it.
How did the blind write?
Blind writes in their Braille language.
Okay, Braille, okay.
Braille, right. So okay. They also wrote. So it was fantastic to see.
What a mass movement.
It was a mass movement. Just like the Dandi March of Mahatma Gandhi. He held a handful of salt and said, this is the food of the common man and the British Raj is going to levy tax on it. So he went to the seashore and he raised his hand and chalo, he started his satyagraha movement. I felt it was something like that. I never thought that it will gain such momentum. We used to monitor from which place how many namas have been completed. So in the process, Swami also made his presence felt. in one of the places called Jharsuguda, in a remote Adivasi village, in tribal village. A small girl was writing. She had earmarked the dates. Dates was calendar-like. So one day, because of her domestic course, she could not write. Next day, she started writing from that date. So the previous date was lying blank in the book. The very next day when she opened the book, she found that it was written in beautiful local language. Om Sri Sai Ram, Om Sri Sai Ram was written. Some such incidents have taken place where they felt that Swami is present. I used to tell them that when you write Likhita Japa, when you write Swami's name, be sure that Swami is with you. It is not you simply you are writing, Swami will be always with you. And he will give the proof of his presence. One lady, she asked, she heard my speech. That night, around 11 o'clock when everybody was asleep, she was writing, Om Sri Sai Ram, Om Sri Sai Ram, and she remembered my words. That Jagannath Bhai had spoken in his lecture, that Bhagwan will be present when you write his name. But how can I know that he is present? Suddenly the fragrance of vibhuti swept across. She could feel the fragrance of vibhuti. She could hear the footsteps. She went and saw where Swami is there. There was nothing. But she could hear the footsteps. She could feel Swami's presence. She got into, went to her husband, woke him up and said, "Hey, Swami has come, Swami has come." He could woke up. He didn't feel it. But this lady, for sure, she felt that Swami had actually come. Some such incidents have taken place in different places. We could not have complete record of them, but it was a moment which I felt I had never seen such a moment. It was a unique thing. We had planned that this should be completed within 3 years. Within 3 years they were completed. All the books were brought to Bhuvaneshwar, a huge pile of books. We made them bundles of those books, tied them with saffron cloth. And when we put them together, it was a unique feeling. We were feeling as if Swami was sleeping there. It was such a unique feeling. And on the day we decided to put them under the... Then we thought that when 1 billion names will be written, where to keep them. From that, the idea of having a stupa came.
Oh, okay. Not the other way around.
Not the other way around.
Okay.
So where to keep these 1 billion names? Where to keep them? Where to preserve them? Then I remembered the stupa here, which I think the Chettiar family of Madurai, that Paduka Puja they had done. He had also done the same thing. He had kept them underground and over that the stupa came. So I thought that is the only way we can have a Sarvadharma stupa. The structure will be sanctified and strengthened with 1 billion names underneath.
Amazing vibration.
Amazing vibration it will produce. So in that way we planned accordingly. So this Likhita Japa movement will be for 3 years, and within these 3 years we will also have a stupa. Stupa didn't take 3 years. Practically it took for us some months, 6 or 7 months.
I have a question. When you started the stupa, did you insert these books with Swami's name or divine names, various divine names, in the foundation, and how did you go about it?
No, the stupa was raised. It is 36 feet height above the surface. Below it is 12 feet. In all it is 48 feet. This is just a column-like structure.
Okay.
Then just around that column, we had box-like things, 5 boxes, big boxes.
In the foundation?
In the foundation.
Okay.
So those boxes were filled with books. Those boxes were filled with books. And immediately each box had to be filled with books. And immediately the cement slab is to be put on it, because if there is rain or anything, those books may get damaged. So when we decided to raise this stupa, the structure is very simple. It's not a very difficult structure. Then on the day we thought of when the 1 billion mark was reached, we decided to put that to have those pits filled with these books. We decided on an auspicious date when we will do that. Then we invited the devotees to come in large numbers. Each one should hold one bundle of books on his head, say Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, and they will go in a line and put their bundles inside the pits. So it was a feeling as if Sri Rama was constructing the Setu with the monkeys holding small
rocks.
Rocks and all that. That peculiar feeling we felt. Then on that day, it was very cloudy. Everybody was anticipating rain. If suddenly rain starts, what will happen? We must have put the books outside and all the books would have got damaged. Some people had apprehensions that it will rain. I said, if you say it will rain, it will rain. If you say it will not rain, Swami will protect it, then it will not rain. Why do you unnecessarily have fear that it will rain? See that there will be no rain. And surprisingly, on all the four sides there was heavy downpour. But exactly on the spot where we were going to put these books, there was absolutely no rain, till the pits were filled and a cement slab was put on all the five pits. And on the same day, one of my district presidents was seriously ill and he had been admitted to the hospital and put up at the super specialties. That very morning when we had decided to do this bhusthapana, that means putting the books under the nidhi, I got the news that he is seriously ill and it is a matter of hours. I was scared. What to do? Should I reveal this to the devotees or should I keep quiet? If something untoward happens, whether I have to carry on this function or I have to stop it. Finally, I prayed to Bhagavan and I said, Swami, you have to decide. If at all anything happens, I will think that this is dedicated in his memory. And that is now left to you. And all were busy in filling the pits. Then suddenly a news came that miraculously he has revived. And he was immediately taken to Bangalore Hospital, where the treatment continued. And he is now out of danger.
Thank God.
Out of danger. So those tense moments I can never forget, because I was waiting some unpleasant news may reach me at any moment when this thing is in progress. But that thing didn't happen and Swami saved us. This is how two projects were completed in one stroke. 1 billion names and a Sarvadharma Aikya Stupa.
How does the stupa in Orissa compare with the one in Prashanti Nilayam? You said it's 12 feet under the ground, 36 above. And compared to Prashanti...
So far as I know, Prashanti Nilayam, it was inaugurated on the 50th birthday of Bhagavan. And we did it on the 50th year of the organization in Orissa. So this commemorates the 50th year of Sathya Sai organization in Orissa. The Prashanti Nilayam stupa commemorates 50th birthday of Bhagavan. Then... this stupa, I was told, it was not made of iron, cement concrete. It was made of brick and mud.
I see.
Whole stupa here.
Okay.
The purpose is same.
I meant in terms of dimensions. Is it as high as...
It is 50 feet high here. That
yes.
is 36 feet high.
High, okay.
And that is the tallest, and that is the biggest. Such a stupa you don't have in Orissa.
Okay.
In front of Puri Jagannath temple,
yes.
there is one Arunasthamba.
Uh-huh.
That's also a pillar, which was originally in Konark, and it was brought and put in front of the Puri Jagannath temple. Its height is 31 feet.
So yours is...
Ours is 36 feet.
6 feet above ground, wow. Now, you know, you did it with the purpose of trying to do something proactive and constructive to lift the spirits of the devotees who were devastated after Baba's Mahasamadhi.
Definitely.
Did it serve the purpose today?
Yes, it is such an imposing pillar that everybody feels like sitting there in meditation. We have also made some arrangements where they can sit in meditation. It is not in a busy thoroughfare or anywhere. It is inside our Sai Janani complex. It's a very nice picture. The surroundings are very quiet. One can sit in meditation and do japa or dhyana. And it inspires. There is a school also. The school prayer, now they are holding it in front of the stupa. The school children are getting the spirit of appreciating, respecting other religions. The five religions which are marked on the stupa and the essence of the religions are written on it. So this is a perfect demonstration of unity of faith, which Swami was constantly speaking of.
So that would be Sanatan Dharma, Islam, Christianity,
yes.
Buddhism, and Zoroastrianism.
Zoroastrianism.
I see. Was it a challenge to build one? You said yours is made of iron and concrete, but how do you make it get those petals on and everything? Is quite artistic looking.
The strength of the pillar depends on the foundation part. The foundation part was done by the masons from Orissa. But the beauty, the artistic beauty that you find there,
with the petals, the lotus
petals and all that, this is designed by masons from Andhra Pradesh. They did it. They did it, and one peculiar thing here I would like to say, that on the day the stupa was inaugurated here, Swami in his speech was saying, that also I could hear it. I had announced that there will be a Sarvadharma Stupa in Bhuvaneshwar. 2 or 3 days after that, I just casually wanted to hear Swami's speech over the YouTube program. And suddenly I heard Swami's speech. Swami was delivering that speech on the day this was inaugurated in
Puttaparthi.
And Swami was saying that this type of stupas will be erected. Do you know where? You just remember few days back I had given a medallion, I had created a medallion and shown it to the students.
With the 18 diamonds in it.
18 diamonds in it.
To mark different locations.
To mark different locations which will be in future centers of spiritual excellence. And one of the places is Bhuvaneshwar. Because from the location and that, one who has seen that medallion can very well say that one of the places is Bhuvaneshwar, which according to Swami one day will become a center of spiritual excellence.
I have no doubt about it. When we see the Seva Dal from Bhuvaneshwar and the way they work, the dedication, it speaks so highly of their spiritual strength, my God.
And Swami was saying that in these places, which I have shown here, there will be either a college or a stupa. You see, just 3 days before I had announced that there will be a stupa, you are going to have a stupa. Then I didn't hear this speech. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
3 days after Swami is saying, in his 50th birthday speech, that in all the places which I have marked, there will be either a college or a stupa. And in that way, Orissa is doubly blessed. Some 35 years back, we had such a college for women in Bhuvaneshwar. We got the college, we also got the stupa.
You're doubly blessed.
This
Sai Janani complex that you speak of, it has a school, it has telemedicine, Sarvadharma Stupa. How large is it? Is it a big establishment?
It's a big establishment. We have our state office, we have our Prashanti Bhandar, we have express, we have free coaching given to the slum children for the last 12 years. Some of them have become chartered accountants and engineers. Those who had received coaching in that school, a lady, she is running it, she is taking the whole charge of it. For the last 12 years, she is giving dedicated service in coaching the slum children. That we have here. We have a homeopathy dispensary. A very eminent doctor, homeopathy doctor, he comes there and he gives treatment. And on an average, we get 150 patients in a day.
Wow, very busy.
Very busy. Then we have our Eastern Zone Center, your Sathya Sai Education. We have Eastern Zone Training Center is there in that year. Then we had, in fact, planned to invite Bhavan. And we had done all this with that intention.
Okay.
So in the upstairs, we have Bhavan's room also. And we were thinking that once this is over, Swami will come. But that dream could not be realized. Perhaps Swami wanted, Swami is everywhere. We can't say that Swami is not there. We also feel Swami's presence is there. And now in the upstairs, we have also made it a prayer hall, a big prayer hall, where Swami's beautiful idols are also installed. Well, Swami's idols and Shirdi Sai idols we have kept. And it's a beautiful picture and we are developing it. We want that this should be a center in between Puttaparthi and the Calcutta, or you may say northeast. Bhuvaneshwar should be a place where people would prefer that let us go and see the Sai prayer hall there.
Mm-hmm. So the Prashanti Nilayam of the East.
Prashanti Nilayam of the East.
Yeah, nice.
That is what we want to make it. We have been trying to do that. If you come, you can see beautiful idols of all, both Shirdi Sai Baba and Sathya Sai Baba. They have been installed there. Swami looks exactly like that. So far, I have never seen such a beautiful idol made of white marble.
And where was it carved, sculpted in Orissa?
In Rajasthan. White marble. The whole thing. Sai Janani dimension is 3 to 4 acres.
Pretty large.
We have also a playground for the children. Swami had allowed only 2 telemedicine centers because maximum number of patients, they come from Bengal and Orissa.
Correct.
He said, for the poor people of Orissa to come again for a second checkup will be expensive. So let them come to Bhubaneswar. From there they can have, through teleconferencing, they can talk to the doctor in either at Whitefield or Puttaparthi. And this has been in service. This is also there. And we have a 30-bedded hostel.
Hostel for?
For training purpose. Satya Sai Education at Bombay.
I see. Satya Sai Education in Human Values.
Human Values. So Eastern Journal Center is Bhubaneswar.
Uh-huh.
We have a 30-bedded hostel with a library, with the entire training setup is there, classrooms and everything. Now we are holding training programs for district presidents, for samiti conveners, for organization purpose, for organization office bearers. Training programs we have started. We have our own module where this training is being imparted. Besides your certificate courses, diploma courses, this thing also for the teachers.
Very vibrant and very active movement, Sai movement in Orissa, clearly with so much happening. So you must have a fairly large organization, people to run these programs on a day-to-day basis, the offices.
Number of devotees I cannot say exactly. Mm. So many devotees are there in Orissa. And we have a very good youth force. More than 60% of our active workers are youth, young people. Young.
That's very encouraging.
Even nearly 60% of my state coordinators and district presidents are also youth. And we have, if you go to remote parts of Orissa, you will find Swami's prayer hall, Swami's activities going on.
We hear of that a lot here at Radio Sai. So many activities, so many reports pass by, all coming from Orissa, wonderful work. Now, I want to go back to the Sarvadharma Stupa. As you said, that Baba had materialized that map of India where he showed the 18 states where his students or his mission would shine. Do you foresee this being an icon that unifies the diversity of India in the future and also perhaps in the world?
In fact, I feel that whatever is being done, it is being done by him only. We are just his instruments.
Very true though,
and
yes.
And when the Yuga avatar comes, the avatar of the age comes, whatever he does, it is, his planning is for 5,000 years, not just for 10 years or 20 years. What Bhagavad Gita, what Sri Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, that is relevant even today after 5,000 years. So these Sarvadharma pillar, or whatever things are being done today, this will make people realize what Swami was even after 5,000 years. There will be such relics, like the relics of King Ashoka that you find near Dhauli in Bhubaneswar. What he had written on the stones, that is still visible, that is still seen, that is the testimony of what had happened during Ashoka's time. And we believe that this stupa or anything that is being done, which is at Swami's, that is what Swami is doing, and this will continue to remind people age after age, year after year, for thousands of years, people will remember, people will know what Swami had said at that time, that all religions are one, or there is only one religion, the religion of love. That will be the message for the people of, for the next thousands of years. We are just instruments, we are doing it, and it is He who is planning it. And it will continue to inspire people in all the ages that there is only one religion, that is the religion of love.
And if we all lived by that, all the wars would cease and all the conflicts around the world would just melt away.
Sarvadharma Ikyastupa sings in silence the message of Sai, one religion that is of love, to unite mankind into one. With his call to love all, serve all. Man, the crest jewel of creation, yet to learn to behave like men, to shed animosity, the demons, reveal divinity lying within, to see God in him and in all, in the birds and beasts, in the flowers and fruits, in the mountains and rivers, in all that is seen around, in the smile of the baby, in the colors of the rainbow, in the fragrance of the flower, in the humming of the bee, in the thirst of the thirsty, in the hunger of the hungry, in the pain of the sick, in the tears of the weak, in the roar of the thunder, in the heat of the summer, in the gurgling of the river, in the chill of the winter. Many is man's imagination, one is God's creation. Caste, creed, religion, color, all are one for the Creator. Live not for self, live for others. Share your joy, pain for others. Help the distressed and forlorn. Bring cheer in the lives of millions. Make all happy, he will be happy. Let the essence of all dharmas pass through this talk. Let the fully bloomed lotus blossom be like the lotus always looking above, praying to the Almighty for rays of grace below. May this stupa kindle in your heart the spirit of living Sai, live for Sai, at the end be one with Sai. Generations will come and go. Man's eternal quest will not be slow. Sarva dharma stupa, like a lamp post, will continue to guide the seeker to reach thy goal.
Very beautiful. Thank you very much. On that note of unity and love, I thank you for your presence here today.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. The time in the Divine Valley right now is exactly 24 minutes past 10 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And the current temperature outside our studios is 29 degrees Celsius. Dear listeners, you just heard a special conversation with Mr. Jagannath Prasad Rao, the State President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Orissa, regarding the multi-faith pillar or the Sarvadharma Stupa that has been established in Bhubaneswar, the state capital. We welcome your feedback to this special conversation and the next interview that I'm about to play for you. Our email ID for feedback remains listener@radiosai.org. I'm now going to leave you to enjoy part one of Learning with Love with Mr. Bhanoji Rao. And I wish you a Saisam awesome day ahead. May Bhagwan Baba bless and protect you wherever you are, as the lid protects the eye. Loving Sai Ram, dear sisters and brothers, and please enjoy my colleague Bishop Rushti's conversation with Mr. Bhanoji Rao. Till we meet next Thursday, thank you for your company and Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Learning with Love, our series on Radio Sai, where we bring you conversations with distinguished personalities who have been touched by pure love, who have been transformed by pure love, and who have walked on the path of pure love. In this series, they share their learnings, their insights, and their closely guarded convictions and beliefs, which have now become the bedrock of their life. Bhagwan, in his graciousness, has sent to the studio today someone who is so tremendously love-filled. If you have ever met him, I am sure he would still be there in your mind and heart as one of the most endearing persons God has sent your way in your life. The super intelligent and soft-spoken Professor Bhanoji Rao. He was blessed to come to Bhagwan way back in 1966. So this year is actually his golden 50th year with his beloved Sai. And every single move, every single circumstance, every single decision of his life, minor or major, semi-minor or semi-major, everything after 1966 has been personally guided by Bhagwan. In 1979, he had the opportunity of becoming a World Bank economist working in Washington and Jakarta. Later, he taught for many years till 2001 as an academic at the Singapore Polytechnic in the University of Singapore and the National University of Singapore. He returned to India in 2001 and for 6 years served as visiting faculty, Center for Public Policy, Indian Institute of Management, Bangalore, and also as honorary research professor and later Professor Emeritus at Geetham Institute of Foreign Trade in Visakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh. In 2009, he was back in Singapore as Professor in Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy, National University of Singapore. And interestingly, by divine design, he was back to India again in 2012 and now started serving as Honorary Professor and Consultant at Indian School of Business, one of the premier business schools of India based in Hyderabad. This is a position he holds even now. By the time World Bank picked him in 1979, Dr. Rao had served in various teaching and research positions in several institutions like MR College in Vijayanagaram, in Andhra University in Visakhapatnam, in the Demographic Research Center in Mumbai, the Census Office in Hyderabad, as well as some years in Tata Steel in Jamshedpur. In 1974, he went on to do his doctorate, his PhD in Development Economics and Policy from the University of Singapore. Understandably, he has been a consultant to many multinational firms and international organizations like the Singapore Airlines, IBM Singapore, International Development Research Center Canada, United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, yes, the World Bank, and also recently the Asian Development Bank based in Manila. He has authored 18 books, contributed 40 chapters in various books, and has 62 papers in referred journals and 14 monographs, plus over 100 columns in print media in India and Singapore. Well, this is as brief his introduction can be, because his CV runs to more than 27 pages. But I suppose the happiest assignment Professor Bhanuji Rao has ever received is to interact with the students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He cherishes this opportunity the most and continues to be engaged in this even now. In fact, I have very vivid memories of those interesting and insightful guest lectures he gave and the intellectually stimulating interactions we had as a class when I was pursuing my master's in management in Prashantinilaya more than a decade ago. And now, it gives me even greater joy to have him in Radio Sai for this conversation, because Professor Rao is today also an esteemed member of the Radio Sai team. Yes, thanks to his flair and proficiency in Telugu, his mother tongue, he has enriched our Telugu programs with many valuable productions over the years. In fact, today is July 26, 2016, and just a day ago, on July 24th, we had the lively celebrations of the 5th anniversary of our Telugu stream, wherein we had live programs all through the day, right from 6 a.m. till 11 in the night, and Sir's program on that day was one of the highlights of the day's celebrations. So he is no stranger to Radio Sai, in fact a very loving and familiar voice to all our Telugu listeners. And today I'm so happy and grateful to Bhagwan that we have him for this program for all our listeners, not just Telugu stream, but for Sai brothers and sisters listening to us on Asia stream, Afri stream and Amari stream. So with prayers and gratitude to Swami, I welcome you, sir, once again to Radio Sai and to Learning with Love.
Thank you so much, Vishu. It is a great pleasure. When I sit in this Radio Sai studio, I always feel as though it is the interview room where I am with Swami. And it's so thrilling to be here. The only difference is here I too talk. In the interview room, we never ever said a word because we want to listen everything that Swami has ever wanted to say to us. I just want to make one clarification. I am not connected with the Indian School of Business. It is ICFI Business School. It is not ISB, but it is IBS.
IBS. Oh. Okay.
Because I don't want somebody to come running and say, no, this is wrong.
Okay, that was my mistake.
No, don't worry about that. It is, maybe Swami has spoken something through you. I don't know.
But what you mentioned, that in the interview room, you always heard Bhagwan. And I feel this is a place where Bhagwan came and personally inaugurated, and he sat on
my
chair.
God.
Which is there right beside you, and he sat for an hour and he told us how he wants his message to be disseminated from here. And it happened almost now 15 years ago, and those moments are very vivid in everyone working in the studios. We keep looking at that video again and again, where Bhagwan was, every word he was uttering that day has so many ramifications today when we think about it. How Bhagwan said, you know, this was way back in 2001, but Bhagwan said, don't think of you as separate, don't think audio is separate, don't think video is separate, don't think text is separate, everything is going to merge. You know, he had mentioned about all this. We never understood. You know, now everything seems so prophetic and so profound. And I feel all that Bhagwan gave you in your interview room, I feel now this is the room where you have to go and have your inner view and disseminate whatever you have heard till now. I think this is a place
which has become the interview room for the world, from here Bhagwan is sharing his message, whatever he gave to so many people all these years.
I had no clue about what happened in 2001. I just said what I felt, and it is so nice to know Swami spent his time here in this particular place.
Yes.
And it is really the interview room now. People are being interviewed. You are very right.
Amazing. Well, you are someone who experiences Bhagwan and his divine footprints at everything that you do. And I don't think there is anything, any instance that can happen in our lives where we cannot see his hand. So let's begin with those indelible moments that you have had with Bhagwan. It is 50 years of living with Bhagwan. And I know that if you have to talk only about your experiences, then this conversation will go on hours for hours. But if you can just pick up a few high points of your 5 decades of long association with Bhagwan, so that, you know, we get some idea about what sort of a relationship you had with Bhagwan. And then after that, as you narrate the life lessons that he taught you, probably we'll be in a better position to relate to them.
Well, thank you very much. I think, as you rightly said, 50 years, you have to live the 50 years if you want to get a summary of the 50 years. And I would say that his entry into our life, the first point of contact, in fact, it was written as an article in 1985, Sanatana Sarathi, in English, as when the doorbell rang. That was the article.
Oh, wow.
And it's simply the following. I had no knowledge of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I was in Jamshedpur in TISCO, and I will cut all the details because somebody can read that article. But the bottom line is, my father, who had to come back from a tour, hasn't come back as stated and on the date he stated. And after 2 days, the whole family got worried because there was no news. Somebody gives me Satyam Sivam Sundaram Part 1 in Telugu. And as I was reading after dinner, those days I used to enjoy a cigarette. I was smoking and reading. Amazing. Horrible devotee. Now, I was reading and suddenly I found halfway through the book, without my knowledge, I was crying like a baby. And my whole dress was wet. It was about 9:30 in the night. And then I thought, no, this is not ordinary. This is not just a Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. This is some supreme being. Having said that, I wiped my tears. I said to him, bring my father. By the time I complete this book, you will be my God. I don't want any other God. If not, sorry, I have to give the book quickly to the person who has given me back and do something. It was 11:59 in the night. I came to the last page. The doorbell rang. My dad was there.
Oh my God.
And it was only an introduction, but not just an introduction, it's a revelation. It is equivalent to, in my view, it is equivalent to a modern day tapas and Parameswara appears before the devotee. Because I felt the same way. I felt he gave me this achatkara. He gave me the benefit of understanding his supreme power, because when I came to the last page, I forgot about what I said at 9:30. I was enjoying the book. And when the last page came and the doorbell rang, I didn't get up. I told my mom, "Mom, Dad has come, open the door." Oh. Because I didn't want to get up. I wanted to finish that last page. And there is no I really. It's all him. Nothing but him. That's how Swami came to our life. And I feel so happy because somewhere we would have probably languished and he just pulled us out from all that. That is one point, 1966.
So you told your mom, Dad has come. You believe that?
Yes. I have absolutely no doubt about it.
By the time you finish reading the book, you are absolutely convinced.
Absolutely. I mean, if you are asking me about 2-3 times, now I don't know what has happened that day. But the fact is, I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to get up without completing the book. I was at the last page.
But he knew that.
But I knew it was my dad. Because so much Swami can do, bringing my dad is nothing great.
Wow.
You know? And there was a whole joy in the house. And none of them could understand when I was telling, I know who brought him, I know how his dad has come. Then of course we asked him, he didn't fly on the sky. He came a little bit on the bullock cart, then he came on a train, then he came in a goods train. He used all sorts of mode of transport. The main problem those days, those 3-4 days, was extreme bad weather, no train connections, no telephone lines. Bihar was completely inundated. So that was the problem.
This is 60s.
1966. July. This was the introduction. And it was a type of an introduction from which you never turn back.
Wow.
Because it's not just curiosity, somebody comes to Puttaparthi, takes a look, maybe come back or not. Then the first physical interaction, 1970, and I had no major philosophical or spiritual interest. I was all bugging him only about my PhD. Amazing thing is, I couldn't register for my PhD until that time, even though I was already teaching in the university and X and Y and Z is ready to supervise me. But for some reason, the registration was hanging in thin air. When I told Swami, Swami tells me, PhD is not a problem, that I take care of. And then he started telling me something, something, something. But those something, 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 I didn't bother about. Because my interest is PhD. So I go to my hometown, which is Vijayanagaram those days. February 6 or February 7 was a Shivratri that year. I get a letter from Singapore, from my professor, just stating the registration was done retroactively from 1969 October.
Oh my God.
I just said, Swami, this is amazing. You said, a PhD, don't worry, I take care. It's nothing for him. It's nothing. Okay? And like the living proof, on Shivratri, the letter comes.
Wow.
And what does the letter say? Retroactively. Which is ridiculous, frankly. Because you start registering, then you start doing your work. But in my case, it was retroactive. That was my first physical interaction with Swami. Then I was completely engrossed in my PhD, as you rightly said. 1974, December, I got my degree. Then I wanted to come home. This is very useful to understand the dynamics of Swami's love and the spread of it. And therefore, the equilibrating forces which he uses. My wife simply said that we must go home, agreed, but your mom is not well. So just go to Whitefield, 1970, first visit, 75, March 28 was the second visit. Just go to Whitefield. Just mention to Swami, you are taking up a job in Hyderabad. Tell him, bless us so that mother is with us for some time. Such a wonderful lady. All that my wife wanted was the mother-in-law should be well for some time to enjoy the presence of the son and daughter-in-law
yes.
and the grandchildren. That was his desire. Then, as I was preparing for my trip, 1 week before that, I get a letter from an extremely well-known, extremely senior devotee who, thanks to Swami, lived 100 years plus 1 month.
Oh, wow.
He wrote a letter to me saying, I understand you want to come and see Swami in Whitefield, but let me tell you, he is going to Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mince words. I don't want to appear different from what I really am. I just broke down. I couldn't take it. In Singapore, in my home, I got that letter. I can't stop crying because I need to take your blessings and you want to go away.
Oh.
In the flight to Chennai, the plan is I get down at Chennai, those days Madras, and there were no direct flights to Bangalore those days, surprisingly. Singapore to Madras, Madras to Bangalore. Every second I think about my Swami is not going to be there, I cry. So the hostess comes and asks me, is something wrong with you?
Oh my God.
So I told her, look, I have some problem with my eyes, thank you very much. And I wiped out my tears. But I couldn't stop thinking, stop crying, because every minute, if you go to Delhi, how do I see you? How do I get, who will take care of me in Delhi? How can I can't see you in Delhi? Like a baby, a grown-up child crying away. I got down in Madras. This gentleman, I think I should mention to your listeners, because he's a wonderful, famous devotee, Gopal Rao.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Gopal Rao Garu was in Madras and he told me, Swami is there today evening.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow morning, all the best. There's no, those days the evening flight goes to Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami used to go in a commercial aircraft, okay, Air India, or Indian Airlines as it was called. So I said, thank you so much. I was again crying like a child because I was so happy that Swami has not left for Delhi. Then I came to Bangalore by that evening, late evening, and his son, Surya Narayana, he brought me in his car to Whitefield. And then he went on telling only one thing, just wipe your tears. You know, you have to talk to Swami. You want to seek his blessings. Because you're coming back to India. Don't keep crying all the time. I said, yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. No. How can I cry like this? And within a few seconds, Swami is really there. I say Swami is really there. I get tears. I came, sat down. I must tell you, those days in that wonderful, wonderful Krishna tree.
Yes.
The tree and the Krishna statue. From the gate, Swami used to slowly come. What a sight it was, what a sight. And slowly comes, goes round the devotees who sat around. One semicircle ladies, another semicircle gents. I was crying, because he is there. And Surya Narayana understood the predicament. And he told Swami Banuji, Singapore Ninchi, Banuji, I know. He just said, Pada, we have to talk.
Oh. He has to go to the interview room.
So, I should perhaps leave the details. Essentially what he said was, you are not coming back.
Oh.
We had a long chat. It was monumental for the divine just to wait for one silly fellow. Great, great, great day. But the totally disappointed.
Mm.
And I was thinking, why did my wife send me here? I want to be with my, take care of my parents. And here is my God who says, no, you are not coming. When I went back home, I touched the feet of my mother and said, Ma, I am so sorry, I don't know what to do. This is what Baba has told me. She gets up and says, thank him. I thank you, Swami. Ah, he heard my prayer. Oh. I said, what is your prayer?
Mm-hmm.
my son, my daughter-in-law, my grandchildren are exceptionally happy in Singapore. Don't bring them back.
Oh my God.
I was thinking, for a few minutes, I thought I didn't exist. Here is my wife who says, seek the blessings of Baba, and Baba spends the time with me. And here is my mother who says, don't bring him back. I said, Swami, your equilibrating mechanisms are difficult to understand. That is why sometimes devotees cannot comprehend why he did something to somebody but not to the other fellow. They cannot comprehend. Because Parabrahma Swarupa has the love on every one of the devotees. And each one is pulling in different directions. And whom did he spend time and convince and told him to shut up? It is me. That was a fantastic moment of our life. And also, it was game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Because after that, it was very clear. I can't plan anything. I cannot take law into my hands. He has taken over, literally. And what started in 1975, slowly, extremely slowly. You know something? Swami never ever seems to be in a hurry. I always used to tell my friends who are devoted to Swami, what is one particular word you hear ad infinitum in the presence of Bhagavan? Wait, wait.
Patience.
And I understood that he literally, in March 1975, without saying so much, he sort of took over, and it has become a habit to seek his guidance for everything and anything. And of course, jocularly, I used to tell my friends, well, he didn't allow me to go to India, so he better tell me what to do. Okay? Surprisingly, the entire 1975 to about 2000, that gave me a fascinating two principles. I always tell my children and grandchildren, freedom is equal to dependence on the divine.
Wow.
Totally free. I'm absolutely free because I depend on Swami. Dependence on the divine. And I used to tell them, detachment is equal to attachment to Swami.
Yes.
Okay. Freedom is equal to dependence on Swami. Detachment is equal to attachment to Swami.
By freedom, many people think about independence. And here, your independence.
Yeah.
Your independence to the inner self.
Absolutely. You're beautiful as you said it. I am independence, which is my independence. I am independence, which is my independence. It's beautiful. And there is no turning back. And then, I'll mention third milestone. The third milestone, just like the second, is a continuum. It was, I think, the 70th or 75th birthday, probably 70th. I'm sure, as a young student, probably you too remember. That was the only time Bhagwan has asked devotees from across the world who have assembled, you may be having hundreds of doubts. Write them. There are separate boxes. You put those doubts. We will sort them out and Bhagwan will answer them. Anil Kumar's announcement.
Yes.
And one of the questions, surprising again, I always believe that even when Bhagwan is giving a speech, you will only listen to and absorb what he decides that you should absorb. Huge speech, but you will hear exactly what is necessary for you. In this context, 20 questions were, 20 or 25 questions were nicely synergized from all of them, because they all mean this. So,
yes.
Question one. They all mean the other one. Question two, like that. And one of the questions is, Bhagwan, we get many dreams. In some dreams, you are exactly as you are.
Hmm.
And your message is very clear. In some, it is hazy. You look a bit different. Can you clarify? And I remember Bhagavan's answer very well. Amazing. He said very clearly, when I want to talk to you in your dream, I will exactly appear like this. No hanky-panky, no changes. Bhagavan will be just like Bhagavan.
Wow.
And if you find me with a suit, with a tie, without my hair, it is your imagination and your dirt, not my dream, not the dream I granted. One point.
Wow.
Second point, he said, 10 times if necessary, I will tell you the message till you understand. There is no question of any haziness in the message, in the dream.
Wow.
And believe it or not, so many times, he blessed me with dreams. There are times, Vishu, when I used to pray to him and say, can you give me a dream? No. In other words, I can't dream a dream. He has to grant the dream.
Yes.
And many times, it is not my expectation. I get up and say, my God, oh my God, I have to do this because you told me to do so. And I'm very, very, very happy to share with your listeners so many dreams he granted. And every one of them is extremely peculiar to some point to tell me something that I should do or I should not do, or to forewarn me on something he wants to give. It's amazing. Not forewarning about some problem. No, never problems. No problems. You don't have any problems if you are devoted to Swami. They don't look like problems. That is the misfortune. Unfortunately, problems get fed up. They don't touch you. I will share a very, very important dream.
Sure.
Only one. In 2000, you just mentioned a few minutes ago about my visiting professorship at Center for Public Policy, IIM Bangalore. It was actually to be for a long period, but actually I worked only for about 1 to 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said bye-bye. One day in Bangalore, I was just completing the module which I was teaching, and morning prayer, I thought, Swami keeps telling so many times that Krishna cannot blow into the flute if the flute is completely ridden with all sorts of obstacles inside.
Yes.
If it is not completely hollow, Krishna cannot breathe, cannot play the flute. And I know the meaning of that. So morning prayer, I said, Swami, yes, I better become the flute at least now. I called up IIM Bangalore, told them, I am finishing the module. I am not continuing to teach anymore. And I remember very well, the chief executive says, but do you know we are giving you the maximum that we give to a visiting professor? I said, please, for God's sake, it is not a rupee business. It is just that I don't want to do anything. I don't want to teach. And then I thought, flute is free.
So you thought teaching was an obstacle?
It's the flute has so many things, you know, you have to prepare, you have to have your ego shown, you need to look like a great expert. I felt it was an obstacle, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't consult Swami, is it an obstacle? No. And so I thought, Swami, now don't say the flute is clogged. It's all free. In the evening prayer, I recalled, no, I write columns, I write research papers, I write books. Sorry, Swami, sorry, I forgot about that. Now, I'll stop that also.
Oh,
totally, totally. And, Vishu, I'll tell you honestly, I never felt so light. And I felt, I don't know, there was some supreme joy, because there's nothing to do tomorrow morning. Supreme joy. And I think I never, ever, either before that or after that, slept like that. It was an amazing sleep. I went to bed about 9 o'clock. And 4:30, I woke up crying like a baby. because Swami appears in the dream, sits next to me on the floor, holds my hand and says in Telugu, Raidam maniku bangaru, rastu undali. Don't stop writing. You should continue to write.
Oh my God.
Now I must tell you, the reason why I was crying like a child is, why are you so worried about my writing, Swami? I will do it. There's no doubt about it. But what a love, Swami. I didn't know that he was in fact playing the flute at that very moment.
Wow.
And blowing into the flute an agenda, namely writing.
Yes.
Now that love is to me, everyone deserves that love, provided the two-point formula is adhered to. Freedom is equal to dependence on the divine, on Swami. Detachment is equal to attachment to Swami. There's no other agenda, there's no second, there's no third, there's no fourth, nothing. It's just Swami, 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 Swami. And sometimes in a light-hearted way, say, he has no choice but to be with me. I didn't give him a choice. No, but genuinely, I'll tell you, it was not a strategic move or anything. Very innocently, I believed that the flute is equal to hollow means you should not have an agenda tomorrow morning. And if you want to be free from the agenda, you must give up what all you are doing. You don't need to go to a forest. You don't need to become a mendicant. But please, attachment to teaching. Attachment to seeing your name every morning. Every fortnight I used to see my name in the business line. What a thrill. What a ego trip. And somebody, and nobody writes, I feel no comment from anybody. It's miserable. But somebody sends an email and says, what a column. Oh, great. No, I genuinely felt that I should only allow him to say what he wants to say by freeing myself completely without an agenda. And believe it or not, Vishu, when he told me, don't stop writing, it didn't look like my agenda.
Yes.
It has become his agenda.
So you are not doing anything for yourself. You know, if you are doing anything, it is only because he wanted you to do
it. He told me to do so.
He told you to do so.
He told me to do so. And it's such a beautiful thing.
So if any accolades come also, it go to him. And if any criticisms come also, they also go to him.
Generally, that thought won't come.
Correct.
Because when I did things, I was fascinated for plus and minus.
Yes.
But I don't feel
this
is my agenda. It is his agenda. And I would say that was a great, great moment also. I mean, in the whole chain of beautiful beads, we have looked at a few of them.
I know.
One sapphire, one emerald, etc. But there are many diamonds which I think we should not bother to put across everything. But these are sample milestones. I said sample milestones because every interaction with Bhagawan is a milestone.
Wow.
Every moment with Swami is a milestone. Every minute with him is a milestone. And as you implied a few minutes ago, it's non-stop. It's non-stop.
Yes.
It happens every day. Provided it can happen to everybody every day. Provided you are not aware of anything else except Bhagavan.
Yes.
So it has to happen that way.
Correct.
I mean, I blurted out saying that I always feel I'm in an interview session here. I didn't know at all that he sat right here, gave an interview for 1 hour. So it's just the connectivity. Complete connectivity to Swami. So these are some of the milestones which I have explained to you.
Wow. Actually, I am so tempted to ask you, sir, go on sharing some more of those pearls. But perhaps I have to somehow resist myself. and perhaps reserve that for an episode of Tryst with Divinity, where we can just go on ruminating on some of those beautiful moments. Because I think these moments are not just moments. I think these moments are eternal moments. And these moments are multidimensional. And I feel they are not just Bhanuji Rao's moments.
No, no.
These are moments of the Jivatma with the Paramatma. These are moments of a flute trying to become Krishna's flute. And I think each one of us are in this journey to become that Krishna's flute. Who does not want ethereal music to be played through them? And who does not want to rest on the lips of the Lord? Who does not want to be the closest to the Lord? I think everyone is on the path and everyone benefits from these moments and these learnings. And I pray to Bhagwan that someday we can continue this session where you can, without any encumbrances, just go on sharing these moments, because I think each one of them is highly significant and highly relevant for us as we walk on the spiritual path. But for today's conversation, as we decided before, probably we can go on with those learnings of love. And maybe you can pick up those life lessons which have now become deep convictions and sure short formulas for your life, and which you think will help the current generation and coming generations in their business of life, in their business of living, in their business of being happy in life.
I probably will repeat what I have said a minute ago. The main lesson is, please learn to depend on Swami.
Wow.
Because I must be very candid. There is always, whether you see Bhagavad Gita or you see even Swami, many, many speeches, they are all tuned towards asking you to do your bit. You have legs, you have hands, you have a head, you have intellect, blah, 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 blah. I must say with due apologies that if I think I have the capability to do something, this is the segment done by me. When I finish that segment, Swami will take over and do the rest. Now, I don't believe in that particular mechanism, because this I who is doing can take over very easily, almost forget about Swami. My own conviction is, Swami, don't put me into the Maya. You can keep on telling me, I have given you intelligence, I have given you the hands, I have given you the IQ, very high level, this one, that one. So you do your job, then Bhagavan will come. Swami, sorry, I'm sorry, I don't know I have all that. I don't believe I have any capability. It's you who has given me the capability. Now, it doesn't mean that I just put the paper and the pen and go and sleep and somebody will write. No, that's not true. I agree. But even when I start my page number 13 or page number 15, I just say, Swami, today page number 15. Okay, I'll start. My point is, I request all your listeners to forgive me, because the amount of attention they have on a smartphone, 1% of that they should have on Swami, the smartest God in the universe. And I'm not joking. These days, wherever I go, there is a hand, a phone, and incidentally they may say, hi, good morning. Okay? So all I'm saying is, my main lesson is again the same. Can you? And don't use loaded words like, I have surrendered to him. No. Depend on him. Talk to him. Converse with him. Pray to him. Put all your burdens on him. In fact, many interviews, many devotees will say this. Many devotees will share this. They have experienced this also. In many interviews, Swami told people, those days he used to talk so fast, and he told many people, leave everything to me. Just be happy. No, why should we leave it to him? The main point is, there is an ancient formula, a time-tested formula, given by the Divine for the use of all devotees, namely, leave everything to me.
Yes.
Now that is the greatest lesson Bhagavan has taught us. It doesn't mean he will come and read your book. But when you start reading the book, just pray to him. Be with me, Swami. See what grasp you can get.
Wow.
Many people misunderstand me, quote unquote me. They think that for everything this fellow runs to Baba. So one day I told a high intellectual in Indonesia. He was very upset that I was coming here to Puttaparthi to ask, shall I continue in the bank? Shall I go back to Singapore? Do you want me to come home? Because it was like a turning point. The term of the World Bank in Indonesia is getting completed. In natural order, I have to go back to Washington. But I felt like asking Swami, because maybe this is a turning point. And then this wonderful intellectual asked me, but why do you go to him?
It's your life.
You are intelligent. So quietly I told him in close to his ear, you are thinking I am intelligent, but I am not thinking that I am intelligent. My point, and then second thing I told him, if he has no problem to entertain me, why are you having a problem? If Bhagavan tells me from tomorrow, except some sophisticated philosophical problem, don't come to me, then I will learn. No, he is all for me.
I can go to him and ask, what should I have for breakfast also?
Why not? The whole point is, people, you see, you don't stay there, you don't sit there and ask, probably, yes. Swami, what do I have for breakfast? But when getting up in the morning, you may say, Swami, what do I have for breakfast today?
Exactly.
That's connectivity. Yes. I'm only requesting everybody, develop intense connectivity.
Yes.
That's the fruit.
Absolutely. Then you no more take decisions in your life. You only take instructions.
You don't even know whether you're taking a decision or not, because you're not taking the decision. In fact, I'll be very happy to say that many times I told my friends, if early morning, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Swami appears in my dream and tells me, go to Moscow, I have no question. I just go to Moscow. Because I know somebody will be waiting there. I know there is a reason. To me, the place he chooses is the place where I live. The job he chooses is the job I do. And the book he selects that I should write is the book that I write. Because he made it very clear to me. Don't stop writing. It doesn't mean I'm going to be a great novelist or a great philosopher or a great writer. No, there is a reason. Why should I worry? You see, the result effort linkage is completely broken, because it is his command.
Yes.
And therefore you are free. He has given in a beautiful way a formula to be, I hope people don't misunderstand me, I'm not yet achieved it, but I know what it is. He has given the formula to be a Jivan Mukta, free while alive. Because you are doing for him.
Yes.
You are doing what he asked you to do for him. That is the main lesson that I learned. Another lesson is there is not an iota of a place where he is not.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to use the standard terminology of omnipresence because everybody uses omnipresence these days. But that's what I mean by omnipresence. Omnipresence includes being present in everybody.
Yes.
I'll give you two or three examples. Tons of them I have. But I give two or three examples of how he demonstrated his omnipresence. My family and myself, we came from Washington to Bombay. The main idea was that we should all come to Whitefield, first take, have a darshan, then go home to our native place. We go to Visakhapatnam, Vijayanagaram. But the baggage was so much.
Mm-hmm.
2 pieces per person. You don't ever give up anything that is freely given. So plenty of bags. 3 children, my wife and myself. And the decision was taken within the family circle that we are not going to Bangalore, we are not going to Whitefield. We are first going home, dump all this, then we will think about going to Whitefield. I was feeling inwardly that Swami wants to see us. He is waiting for me. This is ridiculous, but that was my thinking. He is waiting for me.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.